going in.
Six, between 6 and 6:30. Yeah, we
can get it done by then? Or do we want to
come back tomorrow?
Wait, it's recording
on. Who actually?
Colby Rob.
For who?
Oh, for more.
I'm going to ask if we need
my judgment?
I don't know if we should have it.
Yes.
You got enough?
Well, I'm going to ask you.
Meeting back to order. Members, we're going to start on Article 3. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, not sure what your pleasure on this is. We do have a basically a delete everything amendment for Article 3.
Seems too much to me.
That is the chair's proposal. And I think instead of going through the side-by-side, Mr. Chair, if you want, I can just go through that.
Where is it? Go ahead.
It's,
everybody have a copy?
It's coming around.
Let everybody get a copy.
Yeah.
This is more important.
We're gonna have mine on the stone tablet, so it's written in stone.
It's granite.
Yeah, well, it's
just
a big block.
Yeah, he doesn't have cement shoes.
Did anybody notify me?
It was Corey.
Okay, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, the Parks and Trails Fund appropriations, if you look on page one, you'll see the House language for the beginning part here on section two, and the total appropriation, the availability, the same language we've been discussing in the other articles. It's the House language. Mr. Chair, if you go over to page two of the amendment, you get to Department of Natural Resources. And what this does is it puts in a split of 42 for metro parks, 20% for parks outside of the metropolitan area, and 38 for the state. And what this does is you'll see on paragraph A is the state's part of the appropriation. And it's a mix of language between the House and the Senate. It was more technical issues. It also includes in paragraph B the $2.1 million, and that was subtracted off in the first year before the allocation to the various groups. So it's $2.1 in the first year for acquisition. And then, Mr. Chair, And that's separate from the 14.2. So for the department, the 2.1 is added on to the 14.262 in the first year. And Mr. Chair, then you'll see on we've got the House language for the LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area, including that the money would go for other acquisition of land or would be available under this paragraph. It's available for acquisitions under paragraph A, clause 2, if it's not used for that purpose. That was in the House bill. And, Mr. Chair, then we also have the language from the House for paragraph C, where you have the money going for the non-metro parks and trails, and you'll see that reflected in paragraph one, clause one there, excuse me. And then if you turn the page to page three, you will see that the House was carrying a program for a grant to the Greater Minnesota Regional Park and Trail Coalition, and to do these three items that are listed. This is a slightly modified version of the – I got an email late last night to do a slightly modified version from the House, but I think this is was to kind of clear – make it clear what they were going to be using the money for. And again, no match is required. You'll see that on 311 to 312 for this part. And it does allow up to 2.5% of the total appropriation to be used for administering the grants. Unencumbered balances will not cancel the first year. And then we have the also the technical assistance language. And then, Mr. Chair, we have the Metropolitan Council. And that was fairly similar in both. The only issue here is that on 3.27, there's an added line here. It says the Metropolitan Council may use a portion of this appropriation to provide grants for metropolitan parks and trails of regional or statewide significance within the metropolitan area that are not eligible under Minnesota statute section 85.53 subdivision 3. So those, that would be parks and trails that could be considered regional or statewide significance that are not part of the metropolitan park system. It allows them to use a portion of that. But that's really up to the Metropolitan Council on whether they do that or not. And then, Mr. Chair, we do have the reporting requirement that was in the Senate bill on 4.1 to 4.9. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission for the cost of developing and implementing the web. I think it's the House number. This should have the right numbers in from the spreadsheet that we'll, the fiscal staff can look it over to make sure before it, before the report gets finalized. And then you'll see that we carry the Senate language in Section 7 with the change in the percentages. So it's 38%. For state parks, recreation areas, and trails, 42% for metropolitan parks and trails, 20% for parks and trails grants under the Parks and Trails Grant Program. And then, Mr. Chair, the next section, Section 8, we need to make a change in that. Just consider the language on 5.15 to 5.16 reinstated. That was Representative McNamara's motion earlier. Again, we have three provisions like this, and so that – that should not have been in there. This was done before that motion was made, and just that should be reinstated, and that should be part of this amendment. And then, Mr. Chair, Section 9, this provides that the parks and trails in the metropolitan area are not eligible for the grant program in DNR. And then, Mr. Chair, both sides had the LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area, and this includes both Section 6 on page 4, and then on the bottom of page 5 starts the actual property description of the LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area. And then also this includes the House's provision in Section 11 on the LaSalle Lake State Area Management Options, where the commissioner has to report to the Senate and House committees on their management options for the resort within the LaSalle Lake State Recreation Area. And, Mr. Chair, that is the amendment for the Parks and Trails.
Mr. Knopf, with regards to page 5, you said something needed to be changed there. Is that something we need to clear up here before we
Well, Mr. Chair, it's up to you, but I think you can – who's ever offering this amendment can just – we're going to reinstate the stricken language on that on those two lines. I mean, that's just – that was part of the earlier agreement on the outdoor heritage, and you did it for the parks and – or did it for the clean water, and it would be to reinstate. Again, there was the same language was passed last year for Lessard's, for outdoor heritage, clean water, and parks and trails. And so these were kind of the same sections, basically copies. And so it would just be to make these consistent with the earlier agreements.
Chair Erdahl, you're clear with this amendment?
I'm sorry, which one?
You're clear with the delete all amendment article?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Did you say
nothing to you? I was just asking if you were clear with.
Yeah,
with
unless you just said something different when I was talking to Ms. Taylor.
Any further questions, members? Representative Erdahl.
Was there a Mr. Knopf, Mr. Chair, an amendment dealing with unspent?
Did you want to offer that?
Yeah.
What is it, sir? number?
It's a GK021.
Representative Erdahl offers the GK021 amendment. We'll pass it out.
Mr. Chair, it's an amendment to the GK018 for the delete all amendment for Article 3. And, Mr. Chair, while it's being passed out, I could probably just explain quickly what it does. The way the money works in a house site is the first year money is available for 2 years, the second year money is available for 2 years. What this says is instead of having it carry forward the way it is in here on page 3, it would say that any unencumbered balance, this is for the grant program, for the grant program for the parks outside of the metropolitan area, if there's an unencumbered balance at the end of a fiscal year, it can be spent on state park and trail purposes. Because there's another year of availability of that money, but it'd be if you can't, if the rural parks don't have it or don't or aren't eligible or don't apply for all of the money, if there's any money left on the bottom line at the end of a fiscal year, then it's available to the DNR for their state park and trail purposes.
Mr. Knopf, I might ask, should the same happen to the Met Council money, would this pertain as well?
Mr. Chair, the Met Council money goes directly to the Met Council, so it would be a little bit different, but I don't think they've ever had trouble spending all the money appropriated for them.
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I'm not sure why we're putting an extra barrier for these regional parks. If the statute allows for 2 years, it ought to just be 2 years.
And Senator Peterson, I believe it is 2 years, but this is nothing uncommon. I think with regards to dollars at the bottom line, if you don't spend them, they go back in. But this directly, then, Mr. Knopf, puts it towards the DNR parks and trails. Is that correct,
Mr. Chair? Yes, it does.
Okay. Senator Hall. I'm sorry, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like this is one of the things that oftentimes we don't want to do. We don't want to encourage people to spend money or you lose it. We want people to spend their money wisely. And sometimes it makes sense to hang on to your money until there's a better time or a better way to spend it. So what's the purpose of this amendment? Who made this and why would they want to do this?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and Senator Nelson. Basically, just trying to distribute any unused money back into the system. Greater Minnesota folks would still be able to access that money if they were ready to have it. But also, the Metropolitan Park System would be able to access it. And the DNR administers it anyway.
Senator Hall.
Oh,
okay. I'm sorry. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. But did I understand that any of the unspent money would only go to the DNR, or would it also be available to the Metropolitan Regional Parks? And is the unspent money that would go to Greater Minnesota if there was such a thing? If they have needs for it and do the requirements, then they get it. But if they don't need it, wouldn't it be more appropriate that we go back and give it to both DNR and Metropolitan Parks? Because they're both fairly similar in the size. I would think we would make it available to both of them if we want to say 50-50 or whatever, but I think that would be more fair.
Mr. Knopf, is that what the amendment says?
Mr. Chair, it does not. I was not told specific.
It goes to the.
I assumed it was going just to DNR since they were at 38% and Met Council is at 42%. I was just assuming it was going to DNR.
Certainly don't have a problem with that. I certainly would speak in favor of the amendment. Representative Erdahl.
All right. Just thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have objections to doing that way either. The way that Mr. Knopf just said, back to the DNR.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2, lines
2.24 down to 2.32, we have the grant program for Greater Minnesota. Are they under the same matching grant policies that the DNR already currently has for the matching grants?
Is this to the amendment?
I'm sorry.
To the amendment?
Okay.
Was a question to the amendment? I'm sorry. Okay. Representative McNamara?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, but I don't think anybody's moved this amendment yet.
I thought Representative Earle.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he moved it.
Oh,
yes.
He did move it. Okay. I did have a question, Mr. Chair. I'd like to delete the statutory.
Well, amendment, though, right?
The amendment to the amendment?
Oh, did we adopt his?
No, we haven't adopted it yet. No, sorry. I thought the discussion you wanted to talk with regard to the amendment. Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Representative McFarland.
Okay. Back to page 2. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to page 2 in sections C and number 1, I guess it is, for the Greater Minnesota grants.
I'm sorry. You have to speak up a little bit.
On the grants at the bottom of the page 2, I'm just wondering if the same policies that the DNR currently has with matching grants is part of that, or do they have to match that like they do currently?
Mr. Chair, Representative McFarland, that's a statutory. There's a statutory requirement for 25% match for these grants.
It stays.
Yeah, there's no change in this language right in front of you.
Okay.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I'm confused. Where does it say 25% on line 3.11 and 3.12? I see it says no local match is required for this grant.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Representative McNamara, that's for Clause 2, as I understand it.
It's this one.
It's just this grant. It says this grant, and it refers to the Clause 2.
Mr. Knopf, can you show the folks where the 25% is showing up?
It's just on the $175,000, right?
Mr. Chair, that's the way I read it.
That's correct.
And, Mr. Chair, you won't see the 25% because it's in a statute that you're not amending here. It's subdivision 3 of 85.535 says that it has to be matched by 25%. It's an existing statute.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what is the $175,000 grant again on this? Why is that listed without a match?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, this was a House language.
I should know the answer then. Thank you.
Excuse me, Representative Durdall maybe can answer that.
Yes.
Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, this is the proposal, the grant proposal put together so that the Greater Minnesota Regional Park and Trail Coalition could plan to submit to the working group on what they're doing. And this comes out of the grant portion.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do want to let the Senate know that we did get testimony that they will probably use outside help consultants to develop this plan. It's not something that they feel they have the resources to do internally, which I think will help us to get a good plan that will help give some direction. So I just wanted to put that on the table.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another issue on page 4, section 7. I guess I'm rather alarmed that we're going to be putting in statute percentages. We're still relatively new into this process with legacy. And I just have concerns about it. If anybody could address that for me, or maybe even people from the DNR or any of the people affected might like to talk to that.
Mr. Knopf, could you make some comments about it? Or I'll ask somebody from the DNR.
I guess what I'd like to do is move to delete section 7 on page 4.
All right.
Motion has been made to delete section 7 on page 4. Any further discussion? Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, with apologies because I just got here a couple minutes ago, but I'm not sure who offered the amendment, but I would share Representative McFarland's concern because I thought there had been discussion. I remember, at least on the Senate side, some discussion not putting percentages in, in the amendment. But that's why. But again, I got here a little bit late, so
I'm sure Senator Cohen is Representative McFarland, you're talking about the percentages in statute is what your concern is, correct?
Yes.
Mr. Knopf, do you have some comments? Oh. Somebody else? I'm sorry. Any other members have some questions with regards to that, to the amendment?
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, my recollection from the testimony, we received a significant amount of testimony that talked about how these three groups had worked on a statewide plan, a statewide framework that had spanned well over a year. And part of the percentages have come up based on their needs to implement that plan. And what particular percentage did you have concerns about? All of them? Or
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All of them. I mean, I think that was the agreement for this biennium and not for the long term. That was my understanding.
Representative McFarland, thank you for that. I think Senator Peterson, I think what she's talking about is putting it in statute. The percentages are not the argument. It's just percentages going into statute. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Chair, I think it's the concept of putting the percentages not the percentages themselves, just the concept of putting them in statute.
Is that what everybody understands? Is that clear? Mr. Knopf, have you got some comments regarding
that? Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to say we have done this in other areas. The lottery in lieu has been in statute for 11 years and how that's allocated. And it's not without precedent.
Senator Peterson. Yeah,
Mr. Chair, members, I would encourage you not to support this amendment simply because, from my perspective in the Senate, we received a significant amount of testimony that talked about the needs of these three groups, and I believe that those percentages are to be fair and adequate to allow each of those groups to plan going out into the next decade and beyond through the duration of this amendment. The needs, in my view, have been identified, and those are the funding levels that are needed to accomplish those goals. So, my hope is that that members would not support the amendment.
Any further discussion, Representative Parkinson?
Mr. Chair, a couple of things. First, are we moving to delete the entire section or just the underlying language?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, if you delete the section, it's just the underlying language. The existing law just stays as it is.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speaking to the amendment, couple of things. I also would agree with Representative McFarland that these percentages have been fluid in the past, and the past is very short in this area, and that it's hard for us to look ahead. And I would also comment that we do expect these funds to grow because it is a percentage of the sales tax. It's not an annual amount. It's an annual percentage. So as these funds grow, we may find that there are other interests that are viable and worthwhile, and we may find that there's more than three entities that deserve funding, and I don't think it's proper for us to encumber a future legislature.
Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I speak against the McFarland Amendment. It seems to me that we're not really, businesses don't plan on a necessarily year-by-year business. They know what to look forward to in the future as far as their planning. And so it just concerns me that we're doing things like saying if you don't spend all your money this year, you're going to lose it. And if you and then we don't want to have the language in law either. So I think it's important that we vote down the McFarland Amendment and leave Section 7 in the amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I would like to speak in support of the McFarland motion in the sense that one of the things that we had left over from last year was the inventory that was done, and we have not had the opportunity to hear about the inventory and the effect of what was in the state and use that in our planning process for the parks. And now we have this new study for the parks and trails. And to put the specific language on percentages without using the information from those two things that we paid lots of money for, I think, is a step ahead of where we should be at this time. And my chair told me that this was a one-time funding for the parks and trails, and since it's a one-time funding for the parks and trails, we should continue without the language set in the statute.
Thank you. Any further discussion? My comment would be to Representative Torkelson's point that this fund is going to grow, and there's no question about that. Percentages will go up should we come into better times here, and quite frankly, that would be a point in the favor of identifying those percentages, because those percentages would go up accordingly. So with regards to other parks, his comment with regards to other parks, I think other parks are going to be able to come into here, whatever area that they pertain to, whether they be regional, whether they be state parks. In fact, we do have a state park coming real soon, and regional parks as well, so, or excuse me, Met parks. So I see really no reason why not to put this in. So I would, I also too would ask people to, members to vote against this amendment, because I think it just defines where we're, where we finally come to an agreement here, and we can move forward.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I think
Representative
that, I think Representative Murphy and others have raised some good points on this. I'm afraid that this would, you know, freeze these percentages in statute indefinitely, and that we should be flexible. So I would support that.
Any further discussion? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. If we didn't have Lake LaSalle in the appropriations from Parks and Trails, would the amount of money for Lake LaSalle in this fund, would we have these same percentages in your amendment?
Yes.
Mr.
Chair at all.
Representative Murphy, Mr. Chair, the Lake LaSalle proportion is the same as the proportion they are receiving.
Yes.
The proportion taken out for LaSalle is the same proportion that they are receiving.
Then who is receiving? What is receiving?
Representative Murphy. Representative at all.
Mr. Chair, well, 38% DNR, 42% to the Met Council, 20%. That's the same percentage that they are giving to LaSalle of the $2.1 million.
Mr. Chair, I have a procedural question.
Representative Murphy.
I wasn't in here at the beginning either, and so this is an amendment that we are considering for putting in to the document.
That's the document. That's correct.
It's a delete all.
That's correct.
A delete all for the third article.
Right. Clarifies it,
okay.
Yes.
And so if there's three votes to delete and three votes not to delete, what happens to the article?
Procedurally wise, if there's three votes?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think what would happen is that if this is a split between the Senate and the House and it goes down, the House, I mean, this has not been adopted, so the House can vote against the entire article and it doesn't go in.
That's what I was thinking.
Is that clarified, Representative Murphy?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. But to Representative Murphy's point, the percentages don't take into account that actually DNR's percentage is actually higher if you count LaSalle as a DNR project, which it is. We took it off the top because we wanted to look at that as an important project by itself. But if it's another reason not to set these percentages in statute for some of the reasons that Representative Torkelson's already mentioned. Sometimes important projects come up. This will not allow, say it's an important project in Rochester. It may be a regional park or something that we want to fund in Rochester, St. Cloud area. We will not be able to add that as we are with LaSalle. So I would hope that we will get support on both sides and be able to delete this section and then hopefully adopt the delete all amendments. So I would encourage members to vote for the McFarland amendment.
Representative McNamara, so you're saying that if there's a park that came up in Rochester, that this particular statute would not cover that park in Rochester? Is that your issue?
It would not allow, like what we're doing this year, for a project to come off the top.
Mr. Chair.
If these are set this way, you could these percentages are dividing up the whole pie the way I understand it. They add up to 100.
However, Representative McNamara, should a project come forward from this day forward, it would be taken out of the appropriate part.
Mr. Chair, I just also want to clarify something. The legislature can always override these percentages. This is really for planning. The legislature can appropriate whatever it wants. It doesn't have to. The specific law overrides the general. And you can notwithstand this, or you can just, it's whatever you appropriate. This is more for planning purposes.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And it's just as three votes may prevent this move forward, there may be three votes to not do anything at all. And I guess that would really be a shame if none of these groups got any parks money the next two years.
To that point, members, I think he makes a good point here. I think with the information that Mr. Knopf just gave you, stating that it doesn't really matter if it's in statute, the legislature, and we're not going to be nailing or strapping the future legislature as Representative Torkelson talks about. Is that correct, Mr. Knopf? Well,
yes, Mr. Chair. In fact, if you look at Metropolitan Parks, the statute says that the state's supposed to provide 40% of their operating costs, and I don't think the state has ever done that, but the statute says that. I mean, it's just the specific law always overrides the general. If you had this in statute and you appropriated it differently from that, it's not an issue. The legislature can't violate a statute what it does is it passes specific laws that are overrided. You can appropriate whatever you want, but this would be for planning purposes, for budgeting purposes in the statute.
Representative McFarland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I find it troubling that we're saying that everybody's agreeing on the 38-42-20. I think that's a recent number that we just came up with. So to say that at all of our hearings and all the discussions that have been had that that's the number that everybody agrees on might not necessarily be true. And to put it in statute would be troubling.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Senator Peterson, are you saying that if the language from Article 3 does not go in, then the appropriations from the spreadsheet would not go in?
Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I feel very strongly that this percentage is appropriate. We came out of the Senate committees with 26%. We came off the Senate floor with 22%. And now in the bill we have 20%. And I would argue that if the regional parks do not have 20% available to them, does not go nearly. That would be adequate to start to work and fulfill the plan. And if it's less than that, I may very well likely vote against the whole thing because based on what we've received in the past, it's not adequate to really move anything forward. And from my perspective, if the regional parks are less than that, I would have to really strongly consider if we would just not do anything at all these next 2 years. So.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I'm I don't have any previous background to today, before today, but today I'm looking at this and I'm looking at this, and now I walked in at the recess and see this, which I have not had a long time to look at. But I thought that this, the spreadsheet document, reflected these percentages, and that
I believe it does. Mm-hmm. And you can ask fiscal, but I believe it does. Is that correct? Yes.
For the second year.
For the second year? Or both years?
The biennium.
Both years, right? Yeah, both. Mm-hmm. So, if that's the case, why can't we adopt the numbers and have this, the percentages that these numbers reflect, as the base, but we can, with the plan that's in play, that's coming in the next year, and the inventory that's already taken place of what the needs are across the state, help us to determine future percentages at the time that the plan is here and we have the inventory to steer the plan.
Representative Murphy, I think the majority of what you're talking about has been done, unless I want to stand corrected. I think that majority was done, but to the what we're dealing with now is a delete all. Well, actually, we're dealing with an amendment to the delete all amendment, and that is to whether we're going to put those percentages into statute or not. Correct? I understand it. Chair Erdl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree to some extent with Senator Peterson that that I think that 20% is an important amount, but whether it's in statute here or not, the next legislature can change it, as has been said. So I don't really see, why we need to put it in statute, since it is changeable, and right now we do have the 20. And, I'm in favor of keeping that.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Erdl. That works both ways. It can easily be done the opposite way, and I think, I heard Mr. Knopf say that this is done in law already, and it's not an unreasonable request.
Members, for clarity, the percentages, it's not the percentages we're talking about here, for clarity. The percentages we're agreeing upon, exclusivity, that's correct? What the amendment is dealing with is whether we put it in statute or not. Is that understood?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of?
Chair.
I'm sorry. Representative Tuggles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Another
comment on this area. I think Senator Peterson and I share a common concern that Greater Minnesota Parks get a fair and perhaps in the future a greater percentage of this money. I've been somewhat of an unwilling participant in a number of lengthy discussions about these percentages and have found that the percentages that were established in last biennium's bill have carried great weight into this year's discussions and made it, in fact, very difficult to move off of those percentages just by the fact that they were in last year's bill. And the percentage in this year's bill, I'm sure, will carry great weight into the next biennium. By locking these percentages into statute, I think we are adding more weight to those percentages, and I will be advocating in the future for more funding for Greater Minnesota is my perspective on this, and so my fear is that the 20% will become a cap.
To that point, Mr. Knopf, would this put the percentages We'll just put a cap on the percentages with the up-and-coming legislature 2 years from now.
Well, Mr. Chair, for planning purposes, for people who are planning, it would put a cap in. But for the legislature can do whatever it wants to with these percentages.
So the legislature could put this in statute this biennium and take it out the next biennium?
Or change the numbers, Mr. Chair.
Members understand that? Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, well, it does work two ways. It could be considered a cap or a floor. And good planning does require predictability. And so, again, I would and as has been said, that's what we do around here, is we change the statutes. So I'd be in favor of not adopting the amendment.
I think we're close. Any further discussion, members? Again, I would ask the indulgence of the House to consider this and putting it into statute before we vote. But any further discussion?
No, this one. This
hearing none. To the McFarland to amendment to delete Section 7. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
No.
No. No.
The amendment fails.
Division?
I'm sorry, the amendment to the amendment. You'd like division?
Yeah.
Okay, division's been requested. All those in favor of the McFarland motion, please raise your hand. Okay. All against?
Wrap up the second. Okay.
The motion does fail. Excuse me, pass.
Fail.
To the amendment.
It fails.
It fails.
Yeah. Hmm? It failed because
of that?
No, it's got to
have three, from each side.
Okay.
I'm sorry, did you have a question, Senator Peterson?
Mr. Chair, yeah, I just wanted to confirm that people understood it failed.
The amendment failed? Is that correct? Yes.
Is
that
the way you reported
it? The amendment to the amendment. Okay. Now to the amendment, to the delete all amendment. Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chair, I just had a question. Just as we're keeping Article 1 open, on the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and we may have a chance to come back to that. Are we able to come back to Article 2 under the Clean Water Council as well?
I'm sorry, ask that a question again. I'm sorry.
Just as for Representative McNamara, we're keeping Article 1 kind of open for future testimony and decisions. Are we able to keep Article 2 under the Clean Water Council open as well?
Representative McNamara.
I actually thought we adopted Article 1, just that I'm hopeful before we sign the conference committee report, if we end up doing that, that we would be able to have testimony from the legislative auditor. That's my hope, that we would have testimony from him before we actually sign the conference committee report. I don't have a problem with adopting, based on the commissioner's and director's testimony. I think it would be helpful to have on the record the legislative auditor's testimony.
Mr. Chair, to that point, I may want to offer some more testimony on the Clean Water Council as well, and the makeup of that board potentially as well.
One second, please.
This was going in at 6. But
yeah, I am. I just told him. Did the amendment fail?
It's not one. See, there is no.
Well, I don't know. I think we'll vote again.
Don't we have to vote on this amendment?
We're going to read it.
Members, we're going to take a short 5-minute recess.
Hey, we're going to session. We actually got to go.
2 minutes, then.